Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. We're so glad you could join us. We had a little technical difficulties and looked like the phone had shut off, so I had to call back into the show. So if that should happen again, just bear with us. This is live radio, and sometimes things like this do happen. Just wanted to bring up a few announcements. My name is Sister Kathy, and I just have a few announcements. I just hope you can join us next Friday at 8 p.m. We will have Pastor Jomo Johnson. He is the author of the book Deadest Rapper Alive, The Rise of Lil Wayne and the Fall of Urban Youth. So I think it would be very imperative if you would just tell someone about the show. We're looking to have a full audio listening audience. Let someone know that a renowned author, Jomo Johnson, will be on the program. And I think it would be imperative for the parents and the children to listen together. there will be a lot of things being exposed in this hip-hop. Some good, some bad. So tune in next Friday at 8 p.m. Okay? I always open the show with prayer, and so that's what we do here. We open with prayer that God would word our mouth and that we will flow in the gifting of the Holy Spirit. So, Father God, we come to you humbly before your throne tonight. And, Lord God, we just lift up our listening audience, and we ask that you touch the hearts, open the ears, that they may hear a valuable word that is spoken out of your holy scriptures tonight, Lord God. Word us. We are just vessels to be used of you, Lord God. So we ask that you use us as you will, Father God. And this we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Tonight we are speaking on the power of God. And I know it sounds like a simple scripture, a simple title, but the power of God, there is so much that we will bring out tonight. And so if you want to take notes, feel free to do so. But we are speaking tonight on the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit. And some say Holy Spirit, some say Holy Ghost. So you can just, either way you prefer to say it, but it is really the same. So I'm opening up first with talking about the spiritual gifts. I know a lot of times this is not really mentioned in mainstream churches about the spiritual gifts. You may hear something about faith. That is one of the gifts, true. But I think that's pretty much a lot of what you may see some prophecy. But we will be bringing out the different gifts of the Spirit that should be manifested in the church. It should be an ongoing thing, because if we are believers and the Holy Spirit is in us, then we should be manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, especially when we get together as a body of believers. There should always be some type of manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Amen? All right, let's look at the spiritual gifts. And I'm coming to you out of the book of 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. I will be reading the entire verse. Saints, I want you to just pray, because we have never had any type of interruptions like this. And I notice this phone keep cutting in, cutting off. So right now we just bind up any demonic spirits that is trying to hinder this message from going out over the air. Satan, I bind you up right now. You foul demonic spirit. You will not hinder the word of God being taught tonight. And we plead the blood of Jesus over the phone lines, over any interruptions. We take authority over that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Like I said, he sometimes just gets so obvious. So I'm doing a sound check. Let me know if you can hear me out there. And if I'm coming across pretty good, just let me know. Okay. All right, like I was saying, I am teaching on the spiritual gifts, and we're speaking on first. I was coming out of 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, so I will read the entire chapter. 1 Corinthians says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay, that is talking about the different gifts in the Spirit. He said, wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The gifts given by Christ in Ephesians 4 and 8 are those things that are given to enable a Christian to live a more victorious life in Christ while on the earth. This is why we are teaching on the Holy Spirit tonight, because we know salvation is the first step, but to be, I would say, to flow in the gifts, you need the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times you may not hear this in, you know, mainstream churches, so this is why we're bringing it out tonight. We want you to be fully equipped as a believer to flow in your fullest potential that God has given each believer. Salvation is crucial, but having the Holy Spirit is an extra benefit, okay? Now, one of the gifts I want to elaborate on is faith. And like I said, we see the faith movement. We see a lot of things going on in the name of faith. But faith should also target in on casting out devils, because that is a faith ministry. When you're going about casting out, delivering people through the power of God, it's by his power, it's not by our own power that we should boast. But when you're casting out evil spirits, this is by the power of God. This is through his Holy Spirit. And you must have the Holy Spirit if you want to be effective in casting out devils. Now, you can try to do it on your own, but you would be like in the book, I believe it's in the book of Acts, where the sons of Sceva, they tried to cast that devil out in Paul's name, in Paul's, Jesus' name, and the demons actually counterattacked them and beat them. So, yeah, you could try to do it on your own might, but I'm not going to guarantee you're going to get any results. Okay. It says, now I'm coming out of Matthew 17:15 through 18 when I'm talking about faith here. It says, Lord, have mercy on my son. This is what the father, he had this son. He was vexed sorely with a demon. He couldn't get any help. This child was being tormented. He said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Matthew 17:19 through 20. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. So you see, the disciples came to Jesus after everyone had cleared out, and they said, Lord, tell us why we couldn't cast this demon out of this young man. Because Jesus said, because your unbelief. And if you look up unbelief, it means the same as an unbeliever, an infidel. They were walking and talking with Jesus. They seen the miracles, but yet they didn't believe. Look at the church today. They see God. They see people getting set free and delivered, but some still don't believe that it's for them. The Holy Spirit that was operating then is the same today. We should always see some type of manifestation in the body of Christ. Okay, and then here over in Mark 16:15 through 18, And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, here is the word believeth again. See, you have to believe. It's not just saying I believe, but it is a heart. You have to believe and receive it. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, when I say take up deadly serpents, I don't mean just going out in the field picking up a cobra. I'm saying if a snake should bite you, or a serpent here could be like a demon spirit or something, but if you been attacked, he cannot take your life because God will protect you. He said if they take up any deadly thing or drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We should be seeing it. It shouldn't just be one particular person throughout the body of Christ manifesting that particular gift. As believers, we all should operate in some of these gifts. Sometimes as the Holy Spirit chooses, one day we may operate in the gift of healing. He may have you to lay hands on your child, may have a fever, and you may lay hands on that child and command that spirit of fever to leave that child. You may flow in the gift of wisdom and knowledge. He may give you a prophetic word for yourself or one of your children. That's the gift of wisdom and knowledge, the gift of faith, believing, trusting. These are things that should be ongoing in the body of Christ. They should not just be isolated to one person. And I'm going to talk about sometimes when people get these gifts, how they are marked on the gift, and that is not permitted in the body of Christ. It shouldn't be permitted. He says, even so, ye forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That's what the gifts are for. It's not for you to market on your little private monetary values. It's to preach the gospel to edify the body. This is why he sent the gifts. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. God is just showing you that if you're going to speak in tongues in a congregation of believers, this is one of the gifts of the Spirit, the interpretations of tongues. Now, the gifts of tongues in operation, let's look here at Acts 1 through 5. It says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts 2, 4 through 12. And they were all filled. This is talking about the day of Pentecost. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I know they have beat this word, they have made the tongues, and they have some people make a lot of people who speak in unknown tongues like some kind of lunatics. And you're not a lunatic. You're not crazy. But this is what God said, you shall speak with unknown tongues. There will be it's just like if you go to another part of the country, say for missions, and you don't know that language and you begin to speak their language and they understand you, but you know yourself that is not your natural dialect. That is the gift of tongues. So this is what God is talking about. So don't beat up on people because they may flow in that gift because you don't. You just don't understand it. So if you don't understand it, it's best just to shut your mouth. Because your mind is so finite. You can't even understand the things of God. Now, how are you going to tell me that you know about the interpretations of tongues and you don't even believe in them? Hello? Okay, he said, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. They were saying, these are Galileans, but we can hear them in our own dialect. You see, it would be just like if someone from Mexico came here and never learned English, but when the gift of the Holy Spirit came on him, he could understand English. That's what they were talking about. Now I'm going down to Acts 10:46-48. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter, he said, then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they to him, tarry certain days. And it came to pass, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? I'm asking this question today to the church. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. In other words, the church is not even teaching on the Holy Ghost. People don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. So this is what Peter was asking me. He said, have you received since you believe? He said, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto him, John's baptism. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached. So that's why it is necessary, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, like I said, if you don't believe in it, that's you. I'm not here to put you under condemnation. But God already told you that he will go ascend into heaven and he will send you a comforter, which is his Holy Spirit. So if you don't believe in it, don't try to knock someone that do. That's just your belief, okay? Now, I want to talk about another gift of the Spirit, which is discernment. And because the Holy Spirit is not being taught in a lot of churches, then I see that there is not a lot of discernment. And I was saddened by a news clip today where they had this preacher, and I'm not calling his name, but he was sitting up on the throne wrapped in some kind of prayer shawl, and it was like he was taking that authority like he was higher than God, and I don't like that. Look like some of the elders should have said, this is unscriptural, you need to sit down. But because there is no discernment in the church, people, they think a lot of things going on is God, it's not God. So we need to hold a lot of these men that stand behind these pulpits accountable to the word of God. That's why we had in the Bible, we had prophets. Seers, they would stand up and they would say, thus says the Lord. That's not in order. But we need discernment. Let me read to you what discernment means. Discernment is a term used to describe the activity of determining the value and quality of a certain subject or event. Typically, it is used to describe the activity of going past the mere perception of something to make detailed judgments about that thing. Discerning individuals is considered to possess wisdom and be of good judgment, especially so with regard to subject matter often overlooked by others. Discernment can also refer to the discernment of spirits. That's what I'm talking about today. The act from judging what spirit, whether good or evil, the impulses of human soul, the judgmentalism be made in two ways. The first is by charism or spiritual gift divinely gratified to certain individuals for discerning of spirits. Corinthians 12:10, the second way to discern spirits is by reflection and theological study. The second method, then, is an acquired human knowledge. However, it is always gained with the assistance of grace by the reading of the Holy Bible. So we want the discernment. Human wisdom is good, but when you get in discernment through the Holy Spirit, it's even better. He said, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. And we don't want to sit here and make a religion out of the tongues. The tongue is part of the gift, but you don't need to make a religion out of none of the gifts. The gifts are solely used to edify the body of Christ. So, it says discernment is a term used to describe the activity of determining the value and quality of certain subjects or events. We need discernment as Christians in our everyday life. Even discernment on if you have the Holy Spirit, you need to pray and ask God about even making decisions in your natural life. Do I need to marry this person? Do I need to go there? Do I need to talk? Do I need to have this person for my friend? Now, that's in the natural sense. So in the spiritual sense, we need to have discernment about who is coming up in these churches. Is this of God? Is it not of God? Is this the right spirit? Is it the wrong spirit? See, that Holy Spirit should be like a radar detector. And when something foreign that is not of God come into our midst, that radar detector should just alert, alert, alert. We should get some kind of alert and let us know that this something is not right with this. Okay? I wanted to bring out, there were certain scriptures I want to bring out. It says, I have intended to put this information on for you to use. What the spirit does, it's a religious spirit, it's called divination. This is a spirit that is so prevalent in the church, and it masquerades like it's a gift of prophecy. But divination really is a familiar spirit. It's a python spirit. If you look up the word divination, it means python. And I've seen one church split and total demise over this particular spirit. What the spirit does, this python spirit, it comes to divide, it comes to choke the life out of a church, and usually that python spirit, it acts like it's a prophetic word or something like that. So this is why the church gets so mesmerized with it, because, you know, even in our own spiritual senses, we always want something divine. So a lot of times they come into the church and they present themselves in this way. These were churches that were dangerous to the enemies. Each time the Lord revealed the source of the problem to someone, the split came and won because of necromancy. You know, necromancy is communicating with the dead. And you may say, well, they don't do that in church. But if you're sitting up looking at these psychic ghost hunters and things like that, that is necromancy. And a lot of church people is looking at necromancy, and they don't even think nothing of it. So that's where discernment come in, and that's why we need to have discernment in the body of Christ. In the church, the python spirit can use a person to stop what God is doing. That is the key thing to understand. Spirits, especially the python, are out to destroy and stop what God said and what he is doing. Since I mentioned divination, first look at the definition from the dictionary. The discovering of one what is obscure or foretelling of future events as by supernatural means, a prophecy. Now, I said, you know, the devil comes as an angel of light, so you think this person is sworn in the prophecy, but it's really divination. Instinctive prevision to establish that divination is the python spirit. Look at a portion of Scripture, the King James Version. It translates the Greek word as a spirit of divination. That's why he said it was a spirit. Acts 16:16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. The Interliner Bible, a literal translation of the Bible, uses the word python. So you see where it says divination, it really means python. That's a snake. It's a coiled snake. And it happened as we went into the place of prayer, a certain slave girl had a pythonic spirit that met us. So we see that divination has to do with Python, okay? And you will discern this by the Holy Spirit. For the sin of divination is rebellion. It's found in 1 Samuel 15:23. Insolence is both iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of Jehovah, so he has rejected you from being king. That was talking about King Saul when he used that witch with divination and everything. Divination is a sin. There are people in the church who unknowingly are operating in this spirit of Python, divination. Doing it ignorantly will not cost them their salvation from hell. It will cost them something in the soul realm and the kingdom of God. In the soul realm, you see, you have mind problems. You will be kept from the pure truth. You will experience periods when you are out of control of your actions, and there will be areas where your mind is clouded. The enemy can feed freely into your soul the thoughts he desires. If a person has this Python problem, they can even be tormented through their soul in the night. And a lot of times these Python spirits, these people come up in your church with this divination, be careful who lay hands on you, because some of them, they be important spirits. That's why we have to have discernment in the body of the body of Christ. We need discernment to be flowing and operating to the fullest. We need to pray for the body of Christ, saints, because it's so much deception. It's so much deception going on. Over here in 2 Timothy 2:26, he says, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Once the devil has an opening, a cord, a door established to the soul, he and his spirits can operate their will. We must distinguish between when the spirit of Python is operating and when the Holy Spirit is operating. How do we learn the difference? Now, this is God's formula. It's God plus soul, which is the mind, revelation, which is understanding. God is for your soul, for your ability to think and make decisions, and for your ability to reason and learn. God always encourages the function of the soul. Your soul can be in full functioning and receive from God. 1 Corinthians 2:12-13, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man with man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things." And so this is why we need discernment. I wanted to bring out some of the attributes of this Kundalini spirit. And sometimes this is another spirit that has taken over the body of Christ, and people think it is the Holy Spirit, but they're just manifesting some weird behavior, and it's not of God. The Kundalini manifestation, sometimes you'll see them. I did a YouTube video, and I was looking at some of this, and you'll see muscle twitching and cramps or spasms. Sometimes they'll be itching, vibrating. Involuntarily body movements, you know, they'll be squirming like a snake, alterations in eating and sleeping patterns, intensified or diminished sexual desires. Now, these are spirits. This is stuff that is coming into the body of Christ. Headaches, pressure within the skull, racing heartbeat, pains in the chest, digestive problems, numbness, back pains, limbs, pains, bloggers everywhere, emotional outbursts, rapid mood shifts, seemingly unprovoked or excessive, spontaneous vocalizations. You know, they'll be in church and they'll just bust out laughing. Ha, ha, ha. That's not God. Or they'll go to crying real loud. That is not the Holy Spirit. Hearing an inner sound, they hear voices. They see, they hear voices, inner breath, voices. This is not of God. Classically described as a flute, they'll hear music, drums, waterfall, birds singing. Mental confusion, difficulty concentrating, altered states of consciousness, heightened awareness, spontaneous trance states, mystical experience. Usually the person that has this particular spirit, they always going in and out the body. Well, I was astral traveling, or the Lord showed me this in a vision. But see, what did I read earlier? When God give you a gift, it will do no harm to you. These particular gifts, usually you start going out of your mind. That person, he don't even function properly. That's how you know it's not of God. They begin to be tormented. They can't sleep. They sit up day and night. They're just agitated. That is not the Spirit of God. They will have heat, strange activity, or a blissful sensation in the head. See, we can't get so caught up. Yes, we want the gifts of the Spirit, but we want God's Holy Spirit. That's why we need discernment. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. I pray tonight that if you have encountered any of these actions, or if anything like this, you know of someone that may be bound up, I pray tonight that you ask God to fill you with His Holy Ghost, His Holy Spirit, so you will know with discernment the right and the wrong spirit. Because, like I said, there's so much deception in the body of Christ. We need to be alert because the devil seeketh whom he may devour. So if you're so caught up on marketing the gifts of the Spirit just for your own little private, to bring money to yourself, that is not of God. And what you're doing, you're opening yourself up for demonic possession. Because when God gives us gifts, it's not to charge the body of Christ. We should not have $50 prayer lives, $100 prayer lives. You can dial a prophecy. These are lies from the pits of hell. It should not be that I need to send you $50 for a prayer cloth. That is not of God. That's divination. Or you call in and I'll interpret your dreams. But I need you to, they said, now it's so a seed. But really, they're charging you for the things of God. Freely we receive, freely we give here at Kingdom of God Ministries. We don't charge, but we freely give you the word of God as God give it to us. So with that, there will be a short pause, and the next voice you hear will be Pastor Bobby Montgomery. Now, be sure to join us next Friday because we will have Pastor Joe Mo Johnson. He is the renowned author of the book, Deadest Rapper Alive. So with that, I will pause for a brief pause, and the next voice you hear will be Pastor Bobby. Be blessed. All righty. Bye.
Praise the Lord, saints. We thank you for listening in on this evening. We want to thank the Lord for Sister Kathy. She brought out some very good things in reference to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go further in that. I just wanted to bring out some things in reference to the work of the Holy Spirit, to introduce the Holy Spirit. We're familiar with that, but the Holy Ghost is a part of the Godhead. He is God. And that he is the very spirit of God or the power of God. He is the part that gets things done, I should say. He is the evidence or the power. You see things going on in the world. That is the Holy Ghost. Now, when you talk about the spirit of God, The Word of God tells us that it's not by power nor by might, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord. When Moses got to the Red Sea, and they had that great barrier in front of them of the Red Sea, and the Egyptians was behind the children of Israel, the Red Sea was in front of the children of Israel, and they had nowhere to go. When Moses pointed his rod or staff out over the sea, and that great east wind came and blew and parted the waters that they walked across on dry land, that was evidence of the power of God was the Holy Ghost. Also, we realize that in the very beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the earth. It just hovered over the earth. That was also the Holy Ghost. That was also the Holy Spirit. We also recognize there was another time in Joshua when Joshua was going into the promised land. He was fighting many of the Canaanites. He came against the Amalekites and to fight them. And the Amalekites, they smartened up a bit. They became somewhat astute. And they realized what the children of Israel was doing as they were coming into the land. They were defeating and destroying everybody before them. Now, what this particular king did, he said, look, we see the progress of the Israelites. We see the progress of Joshua. I'm going to go and talk to some of my other king friends out here, and we're going to gang up on them. So what he did, he went and got four other kings, and they came against Joshua, and they came against them hard. The battle was fierce. It was a fierce battle. And Joshua did something that no other commander has ever done in history. He stopped, and he spoke to the sun, and he spoke to the moon, and he told both to stop and stand still. And they stopped and stood still until they won the victory. And they won the victory over these five kings because God honored Joshua, and the Spirit stopped the sun, stopped the moon, stopped time, stopped everything around them except them. Joshua and the Amalekites were still fighting where everything else was stationary. Time stopped. It just stopped. Now, that was the work and the power of God, and that's what we're talking about, the power of God and the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, the reason I brought those things out is to show and speak on how omnipotent God is by and through his Holy Ghost. Now, I'll just give you a couple of examples there. Now, this same spirit that was evidenced then, which mostly it came upon certain people, it came within certain people in the Old Testament, but now in this day and time, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or the power of God indwells us. So we have a whole lot of power and authority through Jesus Christ to do great and mighty things in Christ, that the kingdom of God will be manifest on the earth, and that the kingdom of the evil one, or the kingdom of the devil, would be destroyed by the Holy Spirit. Not so much by not by our power or our might, but it's by the Spirit of God. And that's what the Lord Jesus sent to us when he went back to the Father. But I wanted to read some things to you. Now, the Holy Spirit, along with the Son and Father, are co-equal, or one God in three persons, sharing a single divine essence or being. The term coined to describe this relationship is the Godhead, although the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but we recognize this as the Godhead. The term best describes the nature of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God revealed in three persons, and the Holy Ghost is a person. It's not a thing. It's a person. Now, the Holy Spirit has a couple of names. It has many names, but I'm going to go only into a couple of them. Now, the Hebrew word for the Spirit is ruah, meaning the breath. We're familiar with that. And then we have pneuma, which is a Greek, and it is also in reference to wind or breath. Now, the Holy Spirit is also called our comforter or our helper. He's our paraclete, or one that walks beside us and helps us, and he also pleads our case before the judge. In other words, he helps us to live right. The Spirit points us to the Word, points us to Christ, and helps us to live according to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to the things that he would have us to do on this earth. And so, therefore, we can rest in a surety that God is always with us because he sent his Spirit to be with us. Now, yes. Now, when we talk about the Holy Ghost, we're talking about a power that's omnipotent. It really is. Well, what is the hindrance? In many cases, the hindrance to the Spirit and to the power of the Holy Ghost is us. Now, when I say us, what do I mean? I mean that in many cases, the Spirit of God does not work to his full capacity in us because many times we have blockages. And what is that blockage? That blockage is the flesh and our mind. We know when I'm going to get into fleshly things, but in many times it's our mind is contrary many times to the things of God. We must have the mind of God or the mind of Christ operating in us, and that is through the Holy Spirit, that our mind would be regulated to God. The Scripture tells us that let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what was the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ was to fulfill the will of the Father. So our mind must also be in that same vein. Now, we have flaws in that we still have a sin nature, in which Christ Jesus did not have a sin nature, but we have a sin nature. Even though we are saved and filled with the Spirit, that sin nature is still prevalent, and that sin nature is very connected with the flesh. So that's why we have that war going on in our members, because our spirit is constantly fighting against the flesh, and that is the reason why we have to be filled with the Spirit. Now, when I say filled with the Spirit, that basically means that the Spirit must have control. Now, how does the Spirit have control? Because he is not going to take control. We have to surrender to him control. Now, when I say control, what I actually mean is that the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost does what he wants to do in our life. He speaks to us what he wants to speak to us, and he guides us in all things, not in just spiritual things, but in natural things also, because the Lord wants what's best for our life. He wants us to prosper according to the things of the Spirit, according to a prosperity in reference to what God says prosperity is. Now, in Romans 12:1, it reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, the only way that your mind can truly be renewed is by the Spirit of the living God. It's very difficult to renew your mind on your own. Why? Because our carnal mind is not subject to God, and neither indeed can be. It's not subject. It's carnal. So if your mind is carnal and motivated and dictated by the flesh, you really can't renew it. So that means that the Spirit of God, ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost, that means that the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost would have to come into you and begin to renew your mind from the inside out. But the Spirit of God must be allowed to do that because he is a gentleman. So he's not going to go against your will to do anything. God is not like that. He's not going to go against your will. Although he is all powerful, God respects the will that he gave to us. So you can will to grow in the Spirit, or you can will to be weak. The choice is yours. Oh, well, God can do anything. Yes, he can. But God is a gentleman. And if you read the Bible and you study our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he did not go against any man's will. He did not force anybody to be saved. He preached the word. He showed them various miracles. He cast out devils. He calmed the sea. He spoke to the wind. He did all these mighty works. But he didn't force anybody to be saved. He didn't go against anybody's will for salvation. Even in the Holy Ghost, I mean, when the Holy Ghost came, it didn't force anybody to receive him. It was by free will. It was by free will. But we're still talking about the power of God, but we want to also let you know that you have a part to play in this when it comes to the Spirit of God, when it comes to power. When it comes to anointing, when it comes to deliverance, when it comes to healing, when it comes to faith, when it comes to anything in the Lord, you have to make a choice and you have to go toward that thing and work toward it. Because there are things that we have to do in the Spirit. We have to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling, even though it is by grace that we are saved, lest any man should boast. But after we become saved, then we have to not work it out, but walk out what God has given to us and the things that Christ tells us through his word. But all these things are done by the Spirit, because we don't have the strength in ourselves, to do anything really spiritual for God. Because if we could do those things, then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would not have had to come and die on the cross for our sins. But he did. Why? Because we couldn't. We had already fallen from grace because of our greatest ancestor, Adam and Eve, because of their fall in the garden. That sent generations of sin upon us, and where we were bound. We were bound. But Christ came and set us free because God was working, and because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was God. And then when he did what he did on the cross and he made the way for us of salvation, went back to heaven and sent us the Holy Spirit, the very power of God, to live within us and give us the power to live right and the power to manifest the kingdom of God on this earth and the power to defeat the works and destroy the works of the enemy. Now, I want to bring out some more aspects of the Word of God in reference to the Holy Spirit. Now, we must realize that really we are spiritual beings anyway. We're a spirit with a soul and a body. The flesh and the soul, many times, as I said earlier, is contrary to the things of God. But that spirit man is a part of us that always has that desire for God. Now, what happens many times, people, they'll take that desire and go into other things because of the ignorance that separates them from God. They'll get into different cults. They'll get into intellectualism. They'll try to satisfy that hunger through money, through adrenaline rushes, through women, through all kinds of different things, all kinds of different religions, trying to fill that void that can only be filled with God and His Spirit. That's the only way it can be filled. The only way it can be filled is by God and His Spirit. So how do you obtain that? Well, first you obtain that by acknowledging the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior and accepting Him, accepting the work that He did on the cross, and repenting and crying out to God and accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. That's the first step. Then after that, and that salvation is also a work of the Holy Spirit, because you can't save yourself. You can't do it. You can't do it. It takes the Lord to do it. It takes the Spirit of God to do that, to set us free, save our souls, make us new creations in Christ Jesus. It's by the Spirit. But then after that takes place, then we can go on and be strong in the things of God. And when I say be strong in the things of God, what I mean is basically we become more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. We become more and more like Him. We look more and more like Him. We exude the very Spirit that was operating in Him while while He was on the earth. Now, Sister Catherine brought out some things in reference to spiritual gifts. Now, first our Lord and Savior was generous enough to us to send us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost itself has gifts that it gives to us. Now, these various gifts are for the edification of the church, to make the body of Christ stronger, and it's also to make the individual believer stronger, because these various gifts should strengthen him in the Spirit of the living God. Because we need these things these days, because the enemy is fighting a fight. He's warring against us, and it's a spiritual warfare. And so since it's a spiritual warfare, we have to fight the enemy through the means of the Spirit, which is God in Christ. And the enemy has already been defeated. He has already lost the major battle. But since he's rebellious and he despises and hates God in Christ, then he's going to attack us. But we're not defenseless. We are not without power. As a matter of fact, we are full of power, because that power is the Spirit. And when we are full of the Spirit of the living God, then the Holy Spirit can do whatever He desires to do in our life. And what happens is the Spirit of God manifests in such a way as He comes against, He destroys anything that's of the devil. What is of the devil? What is of Satan? Sickness, disease, oppression, depression, demonization, all those things. Sickness of the body, sickness of the mind, sickness of the soul. All this is of the enemy. But the Lord has already given us the spirit that has already defeated all that. But only thing we need to do is allow the spirit to fill us. And we can ask for that. We can pray for that. We can study God's word. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will fill us to overflowing. And when we are filled to overflowing, then we can move in such a way in the Spirit that we will walk in total victory in the realm of the Spirit. We will prosper in the realm of the Spirit. Now, prosperity can be financial, but it's not always financial. Because if you have finances, but you're sick or you're demonized, then you're not really prospering in the way that God says we're prospering. Because when God means prospering, he means wholly prospering. Body, soul, spirit, finances, naturally, in every way you can think of. That's what God is talking about. I would that you prosper, even that your soul is prospering. That's what he's talking about. As your soul prosper, that's how you should prosper in everything else. You see, even as your soul prosper, that's how you should prosper. Not just in one, you just prospering in one area. That's not what God is talking about. But when the Spirit of God is moving in you where he desires, then you can prosper wholly. Now, I want to bring out some things to you, because in reference to the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost is a gift sent from God, sent by the our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned, there are various gifts of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. I'll read a few of them to you, and I'll also bring them out. For the Word of God tells us that there are diversities of operations, but it's of the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So you see, the Holy Ghost gives various gifts to various members of the body of Christ according to his will. Now, you can ask and pray for various gifts, but the gift you will receive will be according to the Holy Ghost that he will give you. So we don't have a monopoly on the gifts. You don't have a monopoly on the gifts. The gifts are given according to the Spirit of God. Now, I want to bring out some things in reference to the gifts and in reference to the fruit. Now, gifts are different from fruit, although they are still by the Spirit of God. But they are different. They are different, and I'm going to read these to you. But I'm starting in Galatians 5. Now, I'm going to bring out some of the various meanings of the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm going to also bring out the fruit of the Spirit. And what we must realize, truthfully speaking, is that the gifts of the Spirit somewhat come out of the fruit of the Spirit. And the main fruit of the Spirit is love. Remember what Paul said. If you have the faith to move mountains and faith, that's incredible faith, but if you don't have love, all that means nothing. The gifts mean nothing if you don't have the fruit working actively in your life. That main fruit is love. And out of love comes everything else. So you see, if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit operating in your life, but you operate in a gift or some gifts, then you need to question that gift. You need to question that and make sure that it is of God, and make sure that you are not operating in the flesh. You must be sure of that, because if you are operating in the flesh, then that is an open door for the enemy to come in and pollute that thing, and you don't want that to happen. So you want to be sure that the fruit of the Spirit is manifesting in your life, and that you can obtain and have the true gifts of the Spirit moving in you. You want to make sure that your motive is correct, and that your heart is right, and that the gifts of the Spirit are truly from God, and that you are moving in the things of God not because of some ulterior motive, but because you are obeying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that you are doing the things of God for the salvation of people and for the upbuilding of the body of Christ and the strengthening of your brothers and sisters. Now, if you have other ulterior motives, if you're in this thing for the money, or you're in this thing for the glory, or you're in this thing for something other than what Christ has called you, then you need to check those gifts, because they can still work. Because the gifts and callings of God are not of repentance. So if you have a gift, he's not necessarily going to take it from you because you're not using, or you're not flowing in that gift the way you should. Because if you're moving in gifts in a fleshly realm with the wrong mindset, you need to be careful. You really need to be careful. And the reason I say that is because you're seeing it today. You're seeing it today. People prophesying for money. Sister Kathy said that earlier today. But it's not just prophesying for money. They're doing things to control people in the church. They're using their various giftings to control people and get what they want out of people. It's not just money. It's a whole lot of other things too. But you need, I tell you, you need to watch it. You need to watch it and make sure that you're flowing in the Spirit of God, because something terrible can happen if you don't. That's why the fruit of the Spirit need to flow and manifest himself through you, because that is the true evidence of the Holy Ghost, because the fruit of the Spirit comes out of love, and God is love. Holy Ghost is love. Jesus Christ is love. So that love should be in you. That type of love that will put yourself in somewhat harm's way to save a brother or sister, to pull a brother or sister or a child out of the clutches of the enemy. That's what it's about. I'm telling you, that's what it's about. Now, I'm going to read to you the fruit of the Spirit coming out of Galatians 5, starting at 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit. "You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you hear that, brothers and sisters? It says, anybody that does the works of the flesh, it says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you want to be careful that you're not operating in the flesh with the gifts. Oh, well, so what I say that well, you say that well, the, how can that happen? Well, it can happen because the gifts and callings of God are not of repentance. In other words, God won't necessarily take a gift that he's given you away from you because you choose to go contrary to God's will. But you're going to pay a price for that. You're going to suffer for that when you try to take what God has given you and use that for yourself and you're selfish with it. You want to use it for your own glory. No, it doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. You can try to make it work that way, but it really doesn't work that way. And you're going to suffer and be hurt and open yourself to all kinds of demonic activity and pain when you do that. And you're looking around and you're seeing that now. Look at the various things that has happened. You see all this stuff that's happening in the country today in reference to various preachers or teachers that's doing things contrary to the will of God, and bad things happen to them trying to get over on God, trying to use the Lord and use the Spirit of God for their own purposes. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. Now, but listen at this. But the fruit of the Spirit is, first thing, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, if you notice, we have faith here that's a fruit of the Spirit, and you also have faith that is a gift of the Spirit. So you have these two things that are both a gift and both a fruit. Now, the gift of faith is to believe for basically anything. You're not looking at the circumstances, but you have faith. A person that has the gift of faith, he can be looking at a dead person, and he can believe that God will raise that person up. He's not looking at that dead, cold body. He's looking at the power of God moving that can raise that body. That is a gift of faith. It's close to miracles. Gift and faith and miracles are very close. Healing also. But the gift and faith is close to miracles, because you got to have faith for miracles to happen. Of course, you got to have faith for everything, but the scripture says there's a measure of faith to every man. There's a measure of faith for salvation, but there also is a measure of faith for the miraculous to occur, which is the gift of faith. But we also have that faith that is a fruit. So you see, now that goes both ways. Now, you also have, we understand what love is, but love, the love that's here, we're talking about that agape love, which supersedes any other love. You have Eros love, you have a phileo love, you have different kinds of love, but the love that's mentioned in Scripture is agape. That is the highest form of love. That supersedes anything that's on the earth. This is the love that God is talking about right here. We have joy. Now, joy and happiness is two different things. Joy is a kind of, is happiness in trouble. I'll say it like this. Joy is not conditional. Joy is not circumstantial. In other words, you can have joy even in trouble. That's what the Lord is talking about. As the Lord Jesus Christ counted it as joy when he suffered, he counted that as joy. How can you count that as joy? Because it's not dependent on your circumstances or the things that's happening around you. Is dependent on your relationship with God, knowing that God will bring you out of any situation. Now, that is a fruit of the Spirit that comes from the Spirit. So you can't have true joy without the Spirit of God. Now, you can have a pseudo joy, but that pseudo joy is going to go away time the trouble comes. Time something doesn't happen the way you want it to happen, you're sad again. But the joy of the Spirit is there always, because it's not looking at the circumstance. You have a peace, the fruit of peace is peace in the time of trouble. You don't worry about something. You don't get all nervous. You don't crack up. You got the peace of the Spirit, long suffering. That's just what it says. Suffer long. You're going to hold on regardless of what's going on in your life. Because you have that fruit of the Spirit operating in you, of the Holy Ghost, and so you can suffer long. You're not going to be complaining and crying and wanting to jump off bridges and all this kind of stuff, because you know the Lord will see you through. Like Joe said, all of my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change come. Long suffering. And Joe, he suffered more than any man in the Old Testament. But he said, all of my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change come. He knew that God was going to deliver him and set him free. Gentleness, my Lord, another fruit of the Spirit, means you're not willing to do harm to people, just break people down and hurt people. That's not gentleness. Harsh and hard and evil, mean. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Meanness is not a fruit of the Spirit. Being hard and evil is not a fruit of the Spirit. That's of the flesh. That's not of the Spirit. Gentleness, a gentle person can do a lot of good because people will trust them. And they can speak and draw people into the kingdom. Goodness, faith, meekness, subdued strength, temperance. You can control yourself. You can control your mouth. You can control your actions. You can control what you do. You have command of your temple. You have command of your mind. You have command of your tongue. You're not going to just blurt out and say anything anytime. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. You see, your flesh is rising up. And see, when your flesh rises up, that hinders the Spirit. You see, Because the Spirit is not going to go against your will, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, he does talk to you and tell you different things. Now, I say, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Now, I'm going to bring out some things here in reference to the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we have already established that everything comes out of love, but they made some comparisons in the gifts of the Spirit in reference to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the word, the first fruit gift of the Spirit they have here is the word of wisdom, and connected to that is love. Now, the word of knowledge is connected to joy. Now, faith is connected to peace, healings, connected to long suffering. Now, the working of miracles is connected to kindness. Prophecy is connected to goodness, discerning of spirits, faithfulness, different kinds of tongues, gentleness, and interpretation of tongues, self control. You see how that all works? So, if the fruit of the Spirit is operating correctly, the way the Holy Spirit would have it to work, then the gifts of the Spirit is going to happen. That's going to happen. But you want to make sure that these giftings that God has given you, that you use correctly by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. You don't want the flesh to get involved in that, see. You don't want your mind to try to control these things like this. You see. Now, we're still talking about the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost. And it is powerful. But the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit works with you. Remember, he's your helper. He's your paraclete. When you ask him to help you, guess what? He will help you. And when he helps you, he's going to help you with that power of God to move things out of your way, to deliver you from what you've been suffering with, to bring the word of God to you. But now you must read the word. Now, if you don't read and study the word, well, he's not going to bring that back because it's not there. But when you have the word of God in you, then he's going to bring that word back to you to help you and to help others. And you can be assured of that, and you can be blessed in that. Now, well, we only have about 6 minutes left, and I thank the Lord for everyone that has listened, and I pray that you have been blessed by this, and we want you to know that the Spirit of God is a gift for you. The Lord God wants you to be filled with the Spirit of God, because that's the only way that you're going to have total victory in this life. That's the only way. That's the only way, because we're fighting a spiritual battle, and you need spiritual weapons to fight in this warfare. And the greatest thing you can have in your life is the Holy Ghost, is the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life, and the fruit of the Spirit flowing through you and in you, that you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember, it's his might. It's not our might. And it's by the Spirit, not our spirit, but the Holy Spirit, to strengthen our spirit and give our spirit the life that God meant us to have from the beginning. Want you all to be blessed. As I said, we're going to have another great speaker, Brother Joe Johnson. Jomo Johnson is going to be with us on the 11th to bring out the deadest rapper alive and bring out some things on this rap music and on music in general, and how it has somewhat perverted and corrupted our young people, not just young people, but elders alike. He's going to bring that out the next time we come. Right now, we're going to end our program. We want to thank you for listening, and we're going to close out in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray, Lord, that someone has been blessed. We pray, Lord, that the word that has been spoken will go and penetrate their body, soul, and spirit, Lord, that they would be delivered, and that they would seek the gift of the Spirit, that they would seek salvation, and they would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. And we look forward to being with you all next Friday. Amen. And praise God.